VCY America presents Crosstalk, a nationwide call-in program discussing issues that have an effect on our families, our communities, our churches, our nation, and our world. Crosstalk, an opportunity for you to voice your concerns for biblical principles. And now live by satellite and around the world on the internet at vcyamerica.org. Here is today's Crosstalk.
And thank you for joining us today. I'd like to ask you a question. Have you ever been surprised by a medical bill you received? Perhaps what you thought was covered by your insurance really was not, and all of a sudden you received the surprise medical bill from the provider seeking payment? Well, to deal with this matter, just last week a bill was introduced in Congress which attempts to control the prices doctors can charge. But our guest today warns that what is proposed by this legislation is socialized medicine on the sly, and that we can expect doctors to head to the exits. Is there another way? Well, joining us today on Crosstalk, we welcome back Twyla Braze, the president and co-founder for the Citizens Council for Health Freedom. Twyla is a registered nurse. She's also a certified public health nurse. She's provided testimony before legislative bodies. She's a speaker in the Health Freedom Minute, author of Big Brother in the Exam Room. Twyla, welcome back.
Well, thanks so much, Jim. Glad to be here.
So before we talk about what Congress is proposing right now through what we're calling the Cassidy legislation, describe for us these surprise medical bills. How common are they?
I don't know exactly how common they are, but I think they're getting more common as a result of the networks of insurers getting narrower. So, you know, a health plan decides that these are the only practitioners, these are the only facilities, and those facilities and those practitioners, they sign contracts. But you know what? Those, like if you go to the hospital, it might be that the hospital doesn't have your anesthesiologist, mm-hmm. the one that's, you know, signed a contract with your health plan, or your pathologist, or, you know, your emergency room doctor. Or it could be that you go to an emergency room that is not typically where you go, because of course you're having an emergency and you need to go to the closest place, but that entire facility is not within your network. But you think it is, or actually I should say that differently. The emergency room is not within your network, but the hospital is. And so you're surprised because you get the bill from the emergency room doctor and you get it from, you know, these other practitioners. And you're surprised, but you didn't realize that the entire hospital doesn't have employees that are all part of the agreement.
Yeah, the network, so to speak. I understand some 4 in 10 people have been recipients of these surprise medical bills.
Well, and then it depends on what's a surprise, and it depends on how big the bill is. I think, you know, what happens is that in the news you get these astronomical figures, like a bill of $110,000 or something that is a complete surprise to you. But I have to say, I sort of don't like the language, and, you know, language is a part of the battle.
Mm-hmm.
It's not really a surprise. The fact that you're getting a bill might be a surprise, but the fact that you had the care is not a surprise.
Mm-hmm.
So it is a care that you are well aware of. What you're surprised by is the fact that your health plan has said no to paying the bill.
Well, so as a result, Congress says, we got the plan, we got the solution to all of this. They've got support, we understand, from both Republicans as well as Democrats. But it's a solution, Twyla, that you're concerned about. This is legislation that is just coming out last week from Senator Cassidy, Bill Cassidy of Louisiana. And you've got some concerns. So tell us about this proposed legislation.
So what the legislation would do is it would essentially say that doctors can't charge doctors who are outside of the network. So doctors who have made a decision not to participate with the health plan, not to sign on the dotted line with the health plan, not to live under all its controls, etc. This kind of a doctor, it would not be able to charge the patient more than what the health plan has agreed to pay doctors who have signed on the dotted line. And then it would allow some negotiation between the doctors and the health plan. But that is just the wrong way to go, because that is saying that you, as an independent doctor with your own independent clinic, making your own decisions about the value of your business, are not able to charge anything to the patient that you see other than what the health plan has charged. So this is called balance billing, which means if you're an out-of-network doctor, the hospital, the doctor can, you know, bill you. What's a better way to say this? Let's just say that you, balance billing means that whatever the health plan doesn't cover, that you can bill to the patient. But in this case, they're saying, no, we want to put into place a law that says the doctor cannot balance bill, cannot cover whatever the health plan doesn't cover, can't charge you for whatever the health plan doesn't cover.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah. I mean, just imagine doing that to, for instance, a car dealer, right? So you go to have a car, get a car, mm-hmm. right? And the bank says, and it's an agreement at the government level that the bank, you have to, the car dealer can only accept what the bank says they're going to pay for a car. They can't actually charge you more. So the bank says we're only going to pay $5,000 for that $15,000 car. Now the dealer wants to, of course, charge you $10,000 more, but couldn't charge you more than the bank says that they're going to pay for the car. Even though they have no agreement with this bank, they have no business with this bank whatsoever, the government would say, you, the car dealer, have to take whatever the banker says they're going to pay, and you can't charge the person buying the car anymore.
Well, you have said that this legislation will essentially socialize doctors. How will it do that? How will it have that impact?
So, people say, of course, that there are different versions or iterations or meanings of socialism. There's the concrete one, which says that the government owns everything, and then everybody just works for it. They own the buildings, they own the practices, that sort of thing. The doctors become government employees. But there's other ways to socialize the doctors, and that is to say, okay, you can work independently, but you only get the money that we decide that you can get. So it's like an indirect version of socialism. The government is controlling what you can be paid by anybody who is in a health plan and happens to see you, even though you don't have a contract. And so that is a way of the government controlling. It's price controls. It's price controls on the doctors and limiting what they can do, even though they've got their own independent business.
So if this legislation passes, what differences are between in-network and out-of-network? Is there any?
Right. So, you know, one of the things I like to say is that it's really going to make every doctor a network doctor. So even though you haven't signed on the dotted line, what a great thing for the health plan, that they don't have to even have a contract with you, but you can't charge their patients anything more than they're willing to pay somebody who's in the contract. And so there wouldn't be a lot of difference. And that's another way to see the socialism part of that there, mm-hmm. is that everybody comes under the same pricing rubric across the country. Everybody who, and worse, maybe worse than that is the fact that the health plans get to set the prices. Right? It's not even the government's just saying, you know, basically whatever the in-network price is, that's the price that you're going to be set with. Now, there is some of the bills, there's the ability to negotiate with the health plan and maybe get a slightly higher price. But, you know, that's an entire process, and that becomes difficult, and a lot of doctors don't have the time or the energy or the staff or the lawyers or whomever it might take to try and go and get a price to try and fully compensate for what you have done for the patient.
Well, whose interest is really at heart here? I mean, is this in the patient's best interest, the insurer's best interest? It doesn't seem it's in the doctor's best interest.
Well, I think it's in the insurer's best interest, but I think from a political point of view, I think that the members of Congress are saying, you know, look at this terrible thing that's happening here, and it is a terrible thing. But they're just, the solution is not the right solution. Because the terrible thing that's happening here is that we have networks and that we don't have real insurance. We've got these things called health plans, which are really prepaid health care that have They have the legal authority to set up these networks, to restrict access to who you can go to, and then to also deny you access to care even within the network. So the real problem is the fact that this is the system that Congress has been promoting ever since the HMO Act of 1973, and this is the system that the Affordable Care Act says everybody has to have, a health plan, a prepaid care health plan. And so that's the real problem, because there you are with your limited number of doctors in a network, and then you go out of the network, and then this doctor who has no, you know, relationship with your health plan is going to charge you what he's going to charge you. And then there you are, right? You got sick, you didn't have a choice, maybe there isn't even this kind of care inside your network, so you decide to go out of network, in which case it's not a surprise bill in that case, but yeah. But still the problem has been the networks, and they're not dealing with the networks, they're dealing with the politics of these tragic stories, and they are tragic stories. They wouldn't have to stay tragic stories, they could negotiate those bills down. They could ask for the Medicare price instead of $110,000. They could ask for the Medicare price of maybe $10,000 or $5,000, right? But they get stuck with these bills, and they don't know how to negotiate, and they've never thought about it.
Twyla Bray is with us here today from the Citizens Council for Health Freedom. Twyla, this legislation calls for baseball-style arbitration. Describe that for us.
Yeah, that is where... I haven't looked at it a ton, but I look at it enough to say that is where these two prices are put forth. So the health plan puts forth the price and the doctors put forth the price, and then the arbitrator makes a decision about which price is the one that will be paid to the doctor. And, you know, why are we doing this? Is there anything else where this happens in your life? This is why I say we need to go back to indemnity insurance, which pays you, the patient, and then you pay your doctor and you pay your hospital, and there's none of this. You can go to any doctor that you want. Because here now we've added all these layers, right? So we get the government who's trying to be involved with a law, and then we get the health plans who are the ones who are restricting access to care through narrow networks, and now we have arbitration that the doctor, who is not the powerful player in this arbitration, the doctor and the health plan come together. And this arbitrator, this third party, just makes a decision about what the doctor gets.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I mean, is that how you would want to run your business, right, where you have to go to arbitration to get the price that you thought was a fair price to charge?
Yeah, well, no. What hardware store owner would want that, or clothing store, or whomever?
Right, or restaurant.
A restaurant.
Imagine that, a restaurant. It's kind of funny.
Or the trades.
That's right. The plumbers, right?
Mm-hmm.
Or the building the house. And you're limited in your price according to the government because they want everybody to be under the same price rubric.
Twyla Bray's with us here. We're going to take a break on Crosstalk and break this down even further here in our next segment. We're talking about surprise medical bills. There's a legislative solution to this that's coming, just been introduced. But our guest today is saying that's not really a solution that's hitting us in the right direction. It's leading us towards socialism. She's got another solution to this whole process, and we'll delve into that further as well. You're listening to Crosstalk on the VCY American Network. Stay with us. We'll be right back.
Back to Genesis with Dr. John Morris, Noah's Ark Explorer from the Institute for Creation Research. Dr. Morris, can you tell us anything new about the search for Noah's Ark?
Chris, the search for Noah's Ark is always on the minds of that set of people that have Ark fever. And I'm one of them. I've been involved in the search for Noah's Ark since 1970 and have led numerous expeditions to Mount Ararat. In the last 15 years or so, hardly anybody has legally been on Mount Ararat. We have, however, been able to search from satellite photography, but with no firm indication that the Ark has been found. The Bible does not predict that the Ark will be found, so we don't have that to look to, but we do have a lot of evidence. Hundreds of people claim to have seen the Ark, but we just don't have any proof. A lot of smoke, but no fire. The Ark did exist, that we're told back in Genesis, but does it exist today? Maybe.
To learn more about creation, get our free DVD called That's a Fact. Call us at 800-628-7640 and mention the promo code FACT.
This is Crosstalk on VCY America. We're talking about surprise medical bills today. The guest, Twyla Braes, president, co-founder at Citizens Council for Health Freedom. Their website, cchfreedom.org, cchfreedom.org. So, Twyla, what we're talking about here is really the concern that we're getting the government involved in all of this. I mean, that really seems to be at the heart of this, where they're at the center of these payment negotiations, and it appears that this just sets the groundwork for even greater government involvement in healthcare.
Well, absolutely. If you can set the prices that patients have to pay the doctors, then you will also help determine what kind of services will be available. You will limit those services because doctors will do several things. One, anything that's going to be a loss for them, they might decide to not do anymore. Two, they might decide to find out right up front, are you an in-network or an out-of-network individual? Because if you're uninsured, they might have a different price for you, right?
Mm-hmm.
But so if you're an in-network person and they're an out-of-network, that may change even your access to what kind of care that you would receive from this individual. And so that's really a way, you know, money is a way to control what happens in medical care, and people shouldn't miss that point.
Isn't this, in essence, what Medicare does?
It is what Medicare. Now, Medicare has two different iterations. It has the regular fee-for-service Medicare, which has a lot more freedom. You can go wherever you want. You can see whatever doctor.
Mm-hmm.
But it, of course, has some of the lowest prices. It's not as low as Medicaid pays, but it is some of the lowest prices. But then there's Medicare Advantage, and that puts those people choose to go into an HMO, which then works like this, right? It has limited networks, limited doctors, limited places you can go. Actually, I had one woman in Florida tell me that she had decided to have original Medicare so she could go anywhere because she wanted to go up and visit her family up in, I don't know, if it was Pennsylvania or somewhere, right? And she couldn't imagine not being able to access care up there.
Mm-hmm.
But that's how Medicare Advantage works.
You have mentioned, as we talk about the impact on doctors, you said in a press release, we can expect doctors to head to the exits. I mean, is that, to expound on that, why would they be leaving?
Because if they're having their own independent practice and suddenly they're not even allowed to charge what they think their service is worth or what they need to cover the whole process of the whole payment process or just providing you care, and now they're limited by the government according to the health plans, then why not find a profession that is simpler, no weekend hours, no having to deal with all of these third-party controls? Why not leave? I mean, there's already so many reasons to leave, including the prices in Medicare or the fact of having to have the electronic health record mandate or all the regulations that they have to follow, or they could be put in jail. I mean, there are real reasons to leave. Half of the doctors are thinking about leaving patients' care or significantly reducing the number of patients that they see just for all these reasons. And now, if the government decides to impose price controls and tell them what they can charge to patients, then,
mm-hmm.
Well, who are they working for? Are they working for themselves as an independent doctor? Are they working for the patients in a patient-doctor relationship? Or are they working in a government health plan doctor relationship over which they have no control? They're the bit player, as it were.
Well, we've established the fact that the people are surprised at times when they get these medical bills, and many listening right now have been recipients of receiving this. I thought this was covered, or I thought this was in-network and out-of-network, and sometimes we have this conflict that goes back and forth. That you go to an in-network hospital, you're having some kind of care that goes on, and you've got to have lab tests, you've got to have radiology come in, and all of a sudden you find out, perhaps after the fact, oh, that particular one who came in is out of network, or an out of network surgeon in an in-network hospital, and the patient, totally unaware of this, is there a fix, a viable fix that you see, Twyla, so that we don't get hit with these surprise medical bills? What is a way forward to avoid this from taking place?
Well, we need to reverse what is happening in this country. And so one of the things is that Congress should repeal its ban, which is an Obamacare ban, on the purchase of catastrophic major medical indemnity insurance. In other words, Congress should repeal the ban on true insurance, the kind that pays you. And then you get to go anywhere. You get to go see anyone. You and the doctor will look at each other across the table and determine what the prices are, and how much you're willing to pay, and how much he might be willing to discount, right, what the price is that you'll have to pay. But you'll have the money in your hand, and you'll be the one with the power in your hand, because you'll have the money. I would really like the networks to be dissolved, which is really the end of prepaid health care. And, you know, for a lot of people, that'll seem like way out there, but you have to look at the history. There were no health plans, really, until the HMO Act of 1973 imposed them. And if I did an article called Blame Congress for HMOs, and went into the Library of Congress and looked up the history, including what Senator Ted Kennedy, Democrat from Massachusetts, said on the floor of the Senate, and how he was going to merge the delivery and the financing of care together. Well, that's a conflict of interest. So if you're the one paying for the care and you're the one who delivers the care, now you got a conflict of interest. It really needs to be the patient, the doctor is interested in the patient holds the money, the doctor doesn't hold the money, right? The doctor shouldn't hold the money, mm-hmm. because otherwise he's going to reduce access to care for you so he can keep part of that money. He should be looking at you and thinking, what do you need, and how much money do I need from you in order to provide the service? And so we'd like to dissolve the networks. We'd like to dissolve the health plans. We'd like to get back to real insurance. And so maybe Congress could encourage the health plans to convert to traditional indemnity companies with high deductibles but very low premiums. That's what real insurance is.
You've written President Trump concerning this issue. What did you tell him?
I really wanted to explain how the direction is wrong, and how, you know, we listened to his speech with Senator Cassidy behind him. We heard his concern about these surprise medical bills, but we just wanted to say that this is the wrong direction. He needs to understand that price controls will socialize the doctors in this country, and socializing the doctors is socializing the healthcare system, and that there's a better way.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what we said, President Trump, there's a better way. And then gave some of these ideas, including pushing for, just like he pushed for the getting rid of the mandate, to push for bringing back real and true insurance, the affordable kind that's really there for the catastrophes.
I understand you're not the only one concerned, but the Association of American Physicians and Surgeons has also written their concern to him. Have you seen their letter or interacted with them at all?
I have seen their letter, and I know that they share the same concern that we do,
mm-hmm.
but right now I am forgetting anything in specific that they said about. But they, you know, they're a group of physicians who are very much for the free market. And so it is not the free market to tell doctors what you can and cannot charge. And really, if you want to have doctors available for the 10,000 people that are entering Medicare every day and are more than likely to have their biggest medical crises in these last, you know, however many years of their life that will be, you know, we're living longer, so, you know, 20, 30 years of their life, if we really want them to have doctors who care about them and care for them as individuals, we have to have doctors who are independent. We have to have doctors who the government does not control.
One of the things they indicate that they say price controls always cause shortages. Do you agree with that?
Oh, absolutely. That's history. that is history, that anytime you impose price controls, what you have goes, more of it goes away, because there's less reason to provide this service when you can't control what kind of price can be charged for it. And that would mean, of course, just like what I was saying before, that the doctors will exit. More and more doctors will exit, and patients need doctors.
Twyla, hasn't some of the states, or I think it's Nevada, that they've already stepped out on this matter?
They have. They have, and that is our concern, that states are going to do this all across the country, that they're going to impose this. And, of course, they're allowed to, right, because, you know, we have the 10th Amendment rights, right? They can do it. They can supersede anything that Congress does. But the fact that the states are deciding to actually impose price controls and not allow the doctors to charge more than the health insurers will pay is a very bad sign.
So you wrote this book, Big Brother in the Exam Room. Would you classify this Cassidy bill that just was drafted last week or made known last week, would you classify that legislation as fitting into the very scenarios that you warn about in your book, Big Brother in the Exam Room?
Well, I could say that everything is intertwined, and that because the electronic health record allows outsiders to control what happens in the exam room, that there would be perhaps more pressure to make this happen. But I do think that once you start giving doctors global pots of money, or in this case, you know, a limited price, they start to ration care on their own. Outsiders don't need to do as much to determine or to control the doctor's practice, because he or she will start to ration the care, limit the access on their own in order to keep their own financial condition in the black.
So the bill is S-1531. It was introduced by Senator Cassidy just last week. A bill to amend the Public Health Service Act to provide protections for health insurance consumers from surprise billing. That's the description of this bill, S-1531. So, Twyla, people who are concerned, what can they do?
I think they need, because this is bipartisan, it's particularly concerning. It's, you know, President Trump, and it's both our aisles, the Democrats and the Republicans. So I think that what they have to do, there are ways to contact the president. For those who tweet, that's one way.
Mm-hmm.
You can say don't socialize our doctors. There's a better way to deal with the surprise bills, right? You can do something that simple in a tweet. But you should contact the members of the House that are your legislators, or your members of Congress, and contact the senators that are yours. And then it would be good to even contact the majority leaders and say, this is a very big concern of ours. It's just going the wrong direction. You need to deal with the networks that are depriving people of access to, you know, all the doctors that are out there, all the hospitals that are out there, and just tell them that you don't want the doctors to be socialized. You don't want price controls. What you want is for them to open up access and have real insurance.
Twyla Bray is our guest here today on Crosstalk. Let's open our phone lines. Maybe you've got a question, a comment on this issue. Our number is 800-733-9829. Perhaps a question you have that needs clearing up on this matter, 800-733-9829. Surprise medical bills are a topic. Twyla Braze is our guest. We'll be right back.
If you're like most individuals, you look forward to your vacation. Many will take great effort to consider a destination the family will enjoy, what to do, where to stay, and what highways to take to get there. Sadly, most people spend more time planning their one-week vacation than they do preparing for eternity. The Bible says our life is but a vapor. None of us has the promise of tomorrow, and our eternal destiny is sealed at death. Wouldn't it be wise to investigate these things? That's the purpose of the book, Preparing for Eternity. In this book, author Mike Gendron contrasts the truth of God's Word with the teachings and traditions he was taught for over 30 years in the Roman Catholic Church.
He found that eternal life is not merited by good works, but is given freely by God's grace to those who put their faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ as their all-sufficient Savior. The book, Preparing for Eternity, is available for a donation of $17 or more to VCY America by calling 1-800-729-9829. 1-800-729-9829.
Have you been hit with surprise medical bills? Concerned? Where do we go from here? How do we handle this matter? Is there a solution to it? Our number to Crosstalk, 800-733-9829. That's 1-800-733-9829. Legislation proposed last week from Senator Cassidy, Senate Bill 1531. And our guest is saying this is a socialized medicine on the sly, and that we can expect doctors to be headed to the exit. So taking your calls here today on Crosstalk at 800-733-9829. If you have a question or a comment on it, we do have some open lines available to us. Let's go to Quakertown, Pennsylvania. And Barbara, thanks for calling Crosstalk. You're on the air.
Hello?
Yes, go ahead.
Hello? Hello?
Barbara, you're on the air. Please go ahead.
Okay. Yes, I just wanted to ask you about yesterday. I went in to get lab work done at a lab that's, you know, I have to use for my health insurance, which is a Medicare Advantage. And there was a little machine there, and they required you to put your card in face up and then face down, put your driver's license in face up and face down, and then answer a bunch of questions of which insurance are you using and just on it. I've never seen this before, and I'm wondering if you know anything about that.
Well, the wonderful thing about being in this business is how we find out things because patients are out there and they tell us, because I have never heard of this technology either, and I'm listening to you describe it with great interest because I don't know if that machine that you did that in, if that gathered, you know, took, you know, essentially gathered that information from both of those cards, put it together with that insurance information that you then provided afterwards, or if this is just a check and it doesn't go anywhere. I have no idea, not heard about it, but I appreciate you bringing it to my attention because it's just another piece of technology that could be used to track or link or collect data.
That was my interesting. Is that that's what it was.
That was your impression, Barbara?
Yes, definitely. Definitely.
By the lab. And do you remember what kind of lab you went to? Was it Quest Diagnostics or
LabCorp?
It was what, Barbara?
LabCorp.
Okay, that's good to know. I might do some investigation about that. Everybody is collecting data these days because data is considered the 21st century version of gold.
Wow.
Yeah,
there's so much money that can be
made off. In my primary office now, they call me a profile, not a patient or somebody who has a certain medical history. I have a profile now.
A profile. So maybe that's what they did. They created a profile on you.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you. Thank you, Barbara.
Okay, thank you.
Bye-bye now.
Bye.
Jim in Meridian, Mississippi, you're on the air.
Thank you, sir. I am totally opposed to the government handling the insurance for me or my family or any of my children. Several years ago, a friend of mine went to Cuba, and the latest automobile down there was a 1953 Ford.
Jim, let's just stay with the facts of this issue here today.
Do what?
Let's just stay pointed on our topic here today, all the other issues and what kind of make and model of a vehicle and all these other details. Let's just stay right with the core issue here of health care.
Okay. Well, I'm opposed to the government telling me what to do and what doctors to do or anything else, and that's my opinion.
Thank you, Jim. Appreciate that. And, Twyla, that's what you're trying to make people aware of this legislation, that it is going to certainly impact, puts the government kind of in the negotiating position here, doesn't it?
It does. I look at all of this and I think about how all so much of this has does come from the Affordable Care Act and from all of the costs that it added and how it drove consolidation of hospitals. A lot of rural areas are losing their hospitals because they can't afford the prices of the electronic health record or all of the other regulations that have to do with the Affordable Care Act. And so sometimes those surprise bills come from a facility or a doctor that's in the facility that is not connected the same way to the facility, but is still there, right? But has a larger price because there are less options to go find this doctor or this kind of doctor anywhere else. And so this kind of consolidation can increase the price of those surprise medical bills just because the consolidation has led to less access, less choices, and all of that leads to higher prices.
Let's go to Bill calling from Pensacola, Florida. And Bill, you're on the air.
Hello. I just was calling to say that I'm self-insured, and I think the medical people are shooting themselves in the foot for this reason. Recently, I had a procedure done, and I asked ahead of time how much it would cost. They told me if I paid in advance, it would be a certain amount. I paid it in advance. Then I get a host of bills after the fact stating I owed this much and so much more. And when I called about those bills, they wanted my receipts that I received from the first time that I paid. And it's still, as far as I know, it's still not over. Even though I produced those receipts, they keep calling.
Wow.
So I'm thinking, you know, that's why the government wants to come in, because obviously the medical people aren't doing it the way they should.
Yeah.
Well, I always encourage people, when you have an agreement with someone, like that was an agreement, that agreement needs to be in writing. Or when you pay the bill, you tell them to write on the receipt, paid in full with their initials and the date, right? So that it's very clear that they know and everybody knows you have paid in full. And so if they come back with something like that, because they've got a separate billing organization that they use, it might be in the state, it might be out of the state, it might be in their facility, but they just look at everything the same. They're not looking for these special cash-based discounts. And so you have to protect yourself by making sure that it's very clear and in writing that it's this price, you're going to pay this price, it's for cash, and it's paid in full.
Thank you, Bill.
So you buy, beware, just get your stuff together.
Thank you, Bill. Yep, you got it.
Thanks.
Jill in Baker, Florida, you're on the air.
Who is this?
Jill, you're on the air. Go ahead, please.
Okay. I have a lot of questions because I have medical bills, and the doctors are quitting here in the state of Florida because of the control.
They're doing what?
They're quitting, Twyla. They're quitting. Yeah.
I see.
Yes. They're leaving the area, going back to work, because we have a lot of medical doctors that were VA-related, and they're going back to the VA.
Hmm.
How do we stop this?
Hmm.
Well, I was in Washington, D.C., and I looked over the table at somebody from the administration, and I said, you know, you should not be focusing on this whole paying doctors according to what you decide their value is payment system. That's what the government's doing. I said, you should be focusing on how are you going to keep doctors in practice. And everything that they're doing is leading doctors to want to leave.
Yeah.
And so, you know, you ask about how do we stop it. Well, you have to give doctors a reason to stay. I did a tweet on that. Give doctors a reason to stay, because right now there aren't reasons to stay. And it's unfortunate that they're leaving their patients in the lurch, but it's for their own conscience in some situations. They are not willing to do what outsiders say they must do to take care of you. And so rather than violate their own conscience and not treat you like you should be, they're going to go somewhere else.
And since this Affordable Care Act came about, Twyla, I mean, we have seen so many doctors leave the profession that the wait times are longer and longer and longer. And sometimes you've got to make it an appointment for 6 months to a year down the road to see somebody.
Right. And so that's so funny that you say that, because there was an article about these long wait times, and it was in Twitter. And so I tweeted a response to this, and I said, and it was in California, and I said, "Hello, California, meet Canada."
Yeah, yeah, absolutely, absolutely.
Because that's where this is all going.
Hmm. Jill, thanks for raising that issue.
Okay. I do have one other question.
What is that?
On Medicare and the supplements, they are totally doing away with drugs that the people need by saying they're non-formality drugs.
Non-formulary.
They won't pay for them.
Formulary.
Non-formulary drugs. Mm-hmm.
Yep. Yes. How do we stop that?
It's another big issue.
Again, this is about going back to traditional insurance and for everybody, and that's part of what we want to do for people coming up. So you're already in Medicare, so to some extent you're a bit stuck. However, it's possible that they could switch the Medicare program into giving you everybody a certain amount of money per year who's dependent on it now, and move towards real insurance products even for you rather than Medicare. But while we are in a situation that Medicare is going to go bankrupt in 2026, there is a push to make access to medications and treatment and everything else less, to reduce access, to try and save the money and keep the program alive longer.
And so let's watch for those who are saying Medicare for all. And Twyla, you and I did a program on this not too far long ago here too, and you can access that program, Medicare for All, on our website at VCY or crosstalkamerica.com. You'll find that program, but certainly many concerns with that, especially with funds running out here. Let's get to Chris in Cedarburg, Wisconsin. Chris, you're on the air.
Yes, hold on. Yes, I my doctor has already left the insurance network, and so I pay out of pocket. And since I see her about 3-4 times a year, it's well worth it to me to pay out of pocket, because I have a $5,400 deductible, and I'm generally not going to make that. And if I need a specialist, she's going to send me to one that would be in my network.
Yeah.
So, and that's why she left, because they were putting too much on her, and she said she'd pretty much rather live in a trailer park than practice medicine this way.
Yeah. Thank you, Chris, for raising that issue. Twyla, these are the very scenarios you warned about as we approach this whole debate on the Affordable Care Act, so-called.
Right. The physicians, you know, they gave some of the best years of their life to take care of patients and to learn everything they had to learn, to be critical thinkers, to look at you and try and decipher what's happening actually in that body by all the different kind of clues. And suddenly they have all these outsiders telling them how to practice, what kind of medications they can use, whether they can admit you or not, how much they'll be paid. You know, there's no real reason for them to stay around. And so there are actually 54% of them that say that they have some level of burnout, and it's because they're doing all these things that aren't patient care. So your doctor's comment is kind of amusing, but it's sad at the same time.
Absolutely. We're going to take a quick break. We'll come right back to the phone calls here on Crosstalk. So Jim, Mike, Maxine, and others, stay on the line. We'll be back in 1 minute. You're listening to Crosstalk.
For the Worldview Weekend Minute, I'm Brandon House. Our website's worldviewradio.com. A couple weeks ago, we held our national Ozarks conference, and our theme was Holocaust Horizon. We picked the theme a year in advance, and we told our listening friends that by the time the conference arrived, anti-Semitism and Christian persecution would be on the front page across the globe. And indeed, that has happened. When we assembled at the conference, we had seen, at that point, 11 Jews killed in their synagogue October 2018, in Pennsylvania. The week before our conference, a Jewish lady was killed in a synagogue in San Diego. A couple weeks before our conference, 200 to 300 Christians were killed in Sri Lanka. How is it we knew that this anti-Semitism and Christian bigotry and persecution would rise? Because the Bible tells us this will happen. There indeed is a Holocaust on the horizon. The Bible makes it very clear. The question is, will we be a part of this false dominant church in the persecution, or will we come out of it and be ye separate?
Our guest today, Twyla Braes from the Citizens Council for Health Freedom. Their website, cchfreedom.org, cchfreedom.org. And folks, when you go to that website, you'll find a very handy way to stay informed on critical issues. You'll see a blue box that says subscribe to receive health freedom information. And if you want to stay abreast on getting weekly emails, matter of fact, just a little earlier before this program even came on, the regular Wednesday email went out. I received it in my inbox. You can have that same information come to you, cchfreedom.org, and put your email address there in the box, and you'll be better informed. Let's go to Jim calling from Wisconsin. And Jim, you're on the air.
Hi. Just wondered if your guest knows anything about, I'm getting phone calls offering from all over the country offering supplemental insurance. And, you know, we had to sign up for the health care exchange because otherwise we're going to get a fine or something several years ago. I didn't want anything to do with it, but my wife signed us up. Yeah. And so does she know anything? I asked my wife, I says, how do they get my number? Because when I go through the process and then I ask probing questions like, how did you get my phone number? They hang up on me. So does she know anything about this, and what can we do to stop this?
Well, no, I haven't had that question before, so I don't have a very good answer for you, but first of all, can I just ask you how old you are?
I am Medicare? 59.
How much?
59.
So you're not Medicare yet.
Mm-hmm. No.
So, but there are all these LexisNexis databases, and there's all of this sharing of information going around, and so, and there are even public databases at the state level that people can ask for information of everybody who's this age or, you know, this sex or, you know, whatever, mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. So I can't actually tell you that, but clearly they're already trying to advertise. It's interesting to me, 6 years before you become eligible for Medicare, trying to get you to buy their supplemental.
And Jim, are you on the do not call list?
I'm sure I am.
Okay, because if you have record of their number, you can report that to your state agency as well, because this sounds very much like a telemarketing situation.
Well, from what I understand, when Obamacare was created, it was created deficient in its nature,
mm-hmm.
so that I believe they probably got in cahoots with a lot of insurance of the healthcare insurance companies to sell supplement insurance. So they're all in cahoots together. That's for information that I have gathered from just kind of checking in and listening. And so they're all kind of in one group trying to sell more to people because they know that Obamacare wasn't going to be enough for people. So,
well, I can tell you, depending on where they got the information and they may not have any health information on you at all. They just may have age information on you. And so it really does depend on where they got it, and you're probably going to have a difficult time figuring out. But Jim is right. You can ask for being on the know, do not call, or you can report it. But the other thing is if they have health information on you, they possibly could have gotten it through HIPAA, but they're not allowed to market to you through HIPAA.
Thank you, Jim, for the call. Mike in Minneapolis, Minnesota, you're on the air.
Oh, good afternoon. Thanks for taking my call.
Mm-hmm.
I applaud the effort at health care reform, the whole shot. I see as the biggest stumbling block, though, not just our legislators, but the lobbyists who push them. And is there anything can be done with the lobbyists? And I'll listen to the comments offline.
Okay.
At the end of the day, it's all about integrity. So we should never, get rid of the lobbyists, although I might say that people who have been members of Congress should maybe, there should be a little break before they could lobby because they're so tied in with those folks, but I'm not even sure about that. Because at the end of the day, it comes to integrity with the members who vote and integrity with everybody to follow your oath of office and to follow the Constitution and to defend the Constitution. It's really all about integrity. And anybody who wants to shut down the lobbyist or shut down the political contributions or whatever is all giving the government more power to control the conversation. What really has to happen is integrity of the members.
Ashtabula, Ohio. Maxine, you're on the air.
Thank you. I was wondering about MediShare.
Mm-hmm.
I have gotten their information, but I cannot decipher if it's good or bad.
Okay. Twyla?
Okay, so let me ask one question. Are you of Medicare age yet?
Oh, yes.
Okay. So it's different for pre-Medicare versus Medicare. MediShare is, unlike Samaritan Ministries, which is another one of these health-sharing organizations, MediShare is a health-sharing organization that is a substitute prior to Medicare for insurance. So you share each other's medical bills. But once you hit Medicare age, then it sort of acts like a supplement. So if you are part of MediShare requires you to sign up with Medicare, and then you can ask or share your bills that Medicare doesn't pay for you, and so it becomes more like a supplement. Whereas for listeners who are not yet Medicare age, if you want to choose Samaritan Ministries does not require you to sign up for Medicare, and you can just stay on sharing bills however long you live.
Okay, more info. I'm going to squeeze one more call in, but cchfreedom.org. Let's try and squeeze in Mark from Albuquerque, New Mexico. Mark, you're on the air.
Yes. Mainly, I'm just here to make a statement. I just think that this Obamacare was just basically wasn't there to benefit anybody, and primarily all he did is put up a lot of people on this healthcare, and they weren't getting healthcare, so it made it more difficult for the middle class to buy insurance now.
Thank you for your call. Twyla, 30 seconds, go ahead, wrap up with whatever statement you would like to hear.
Yes, well, I'll just say, you know, he's true about that, but it was a great boon for the health plans. My last thing to say is that please consider signing our petition to President Trump. Find the red button at cchfreedom.org, cchfreedom.org. Sign the petition to give seniors freedom, the right to opt out of Medicare if they want to keep private insurance.
Okay, again, folks, that's cchfreedom.org. There is a red button on their site on petitions. You can learn more there. Twyla, thank you so much for joining us today and sounding the alarm on an issue of concern.
Great. Thanks, Jim.
Thank you. Twyla Brace, cchfreedom.org. Thanks for listening.
You've been listening to Crosstalk via satellite and the Internet from VCY America. Views expressed may or may not be those of this station. For a CD of today's program, send a donation of $6 or more to VCY Tape Ministry, 3434 West Kilbourne Avenue, Milwaukee, Wisconsin, 53208. Or download by RSS or podcast from crosstalkamerica.com. And join us again for Crosstalk.